This is Digital Story Podcast 790, May 11th, 2021. Today's theme is Supercharge Your Editing App. I'm Derek Story. One of the reasons why we don't move from an existing photo management app such as Lightroom to another is because we have so much time invested in it. Changing horses doesn't make sense. But what if we could breathe new life into our existing workflow without having to relocate a single file? That sounds more palatable, doesn't it? And it's the first story on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. So I think most of us that work with photo management apps are familiar with plugins. Many of us probably have plugins that we're using right now. So on one sense, you're just going, okay, plugin, yay, big deal, right? Well, not exactly. So, you know, I've talked about a number of plugins over the years, RawPower, Luminar, Pixelmator, and they're all very good. And I'm a big fan right now of RawPower for my infrared work. I just love it. It keeps getting better. However, what I want to talk about today is On1 Effects 2021. Now, I have been looking to get On1 into this family of plugins that I recommend for some time, and I've always hit some sort of bump in the road while testing. This time, and I've been using this plugin now for about 6 weeks, this time, not only did it pass all the tests, it has exceeded my expectations. And I'm just going, yes, finally, I get to talk about On1 as a legitimate plugin for just about anyone's workflow. And what do I mean by that? Well, first of all, it works on both Windows and Mac. Okay, so yay, there's a great start. You can plug it into, check out this list, Lightroom, Photoshop, Capture One Pro. Yes, I said Capture One Pro. Photos for Mac OS, Paint Shop Pro, and Affinity Photo. Plus, you can use it as a standalone application as well. So now, there's practically no one in our audience that can't use this plugin with their existing workflow. Practically no one. I'm sure someone's got some interesting stuff going on that's outside of this window, but for the most part, I think we're in pretty good shape. All right, so now we know that it works in a variety of environments. So what does it do? Well, it does a lot. It really does. Tools for masking and retouching, and a variety of tools in this category. So if you're someone that likes to do that, but doesn't necessarily want to go to Photoshop for that, you want an interface that's a little friendlier, Effects will do that. A ton of presets included. And this is something that attracted me to On1 in the past, and I'm really glad that I get to use them now. And there are all sorts of presets in all the different categories that you would anticipate, and it's very easy to create your own custom presets that you can go to time and time again. Now, where I really leverage this is in my infrared photography work. So I use Effects in infrared photography because it has a channel mixer and because it plugs into all the applications that I use. Neither Capture One Pro nor Photos for Mac OS have a channel mixer built in. So I have to do something. I don't want to be, you know, making this difficult, exporting images out, going to a standalone app such as Photoshop or whatever. I want to work within the environment that I'm already in. Effects allows me to do that. It's very easy to just say, okay, I'm going to edit in Effects from within the app. You do it, you click done, and then you're back in your environment that you started with. So that's really slick. So I started using it for infrared work, and that's where I really got to know it. However, it goes well beyond that because it has a variety of filters. Now, filters, I think the term filters in Effects is a little bit misleading because they are these really cool adjustments. Those of you that have tried Luminar or use Luminar, some of these will feel very familiar, such as Glow, for example. And, you know, they have black and white, they have grunge, they have dynamic contrast, which we liked a lot in the infrared workshop. It has a channel mixer that I mentioned before. Skin retouching, sun flare, sharpening, vignetting. It has all sorts of things, a whole bunch of super useful tools that they call filters. Now, when you're working in the effects environment, what you do is, a lot of times I'll start with a preset just to, you know, get a starting point, try to figure out what I want to do with the shot. It will list all the filters for that preset and their settings on the right side. So the presets are on the left and then all the filters on the right side, and the ones that you're using for that particular preset will be activated. So you can continue to manipulate those, or you can add more filters just by clicking on add filter and really kind of create the look that you want. Now, if this is something that you think you might want to repeat, then you save all of those settings and all of those filters as its own preset. And then you have it to go back to. It's really easy, really fun. It truly makes image editing a lot of fun. It does. And it has all the basic tools that you're going to want. But I think for me, what makes effects fun is that it has stuff that are outside of what I normally see in Capture One Pro, or outside of what I normally see in Photos or Lightroom. All right, so there's that part. And, you know, if we just stopped right there, which I did for a while, right? Because when I first started using it, I was very focused on my infrared photography. Then I would say it's worthwhile. However, as I continued using it, I discovered even more about it. And the one big thing I want to talk about right now, because I think this solves another problem for a lot of people, is that it has a very nice print module built into it. And this is something that, for instance, when I worked with Luminar, I kept going, why is the print module so terrible? It's like the standard Mac OS print module and nothing more, which is fine if you're printing a sheet of typed paper, but not so good if you're printing photos. And I'm disappointed with the print modules in other applications as well, most of them, to tell you the truth. So I've always been kind of on the lookout for a fun and easy way to print that keeps me within my environment so I don't have to jump out to something else. Guess what? Effects has that. You know, the thing I like about their print module is, first of all, it's very attractive and easy to use. And I tell you, when you're printing, you're kind of in that visual mode anyway. You don't want to be hassled. You don't want a bunch of things to fill out or choose from that confuse you. You just kind of want to make a nice print, and you want to be able to make a few adjustments so that print turns out the way that you want. Okay, that's what this does. So it gives you basically everything that you need right there, but it doesn't give you too much. and you know, that is a very delicate balance. They must have had a lot of discussions about, you know, what to include and what not to include in the print module. Now, I'll give you a tip, and especially for those of you on the Mac platform. Generally speaking, these days, the Mac won't download a specific print driver from the manufacturer. It'll just default to AirPrint. Now, AirPrint's very nice, and you can use AirPrint as the driver, so to speak, for the effects print module, and you can get some very nice stuff. However, if you want more control, if you want to make more changes, for instance, in the print dialog box, if you want to lighten or darken the image a bit, or you want to add a little bit more yellow, you know, things like that, then you actually need the custom driver from the manufacturer itself, and not just depend on AirPrint, which is a terrific generic driver, produces good results, but it doesn't give you a lot of custom adjustments. So the tip that I have for you is that if you're printing via AirPrint right now, and you want to get a little bit more out of your print dialog box, you want to have a few more options, be able to customize things more, then go to the manufacturer's website. In my case, it's Canon. I'm using Canon printers. Get the latest print driver and then use that. Install that and then use that. So when you're in the effects dialog box for printing, what you do is, you know, first of all, you pick your printer, as all application print modules will do. You have to pick what printer you want to send the job to. But next to that, there's a little button that says setup. Click on setup, and then that will take you into the print driver for that specific printer if you're not using AirPrint. And then you can go in there, make some adjustments, you click done, and then it brings you back to the effects dialog box for printing. And then you finish up the other little things like, you know, 5x7, border, borderless, what PPI do you want to print at? Do you want to have output sharpening? It includes output sharpening. Yes, I love that. And it also includes the ability to add a watermark while printing. Okay, so that's very nice too. And by the way, in this print dialog box, it has a button for PDF. So you can create a PDF there using these same tools, including the watermark. So this whole thing just works really well. Now, I tested it fairly extensively, and I printed out of photos for macOS on both Catalina and Big Sur. I made prints directly out of the application. And then I made prints, you know, in those same platforms using the print module and effects. And in the default settings, everything looked the same. So it's not changing anything. The difference was that in effects, I had more control. I could do more things. It was really lovely. And so now that has become my default print module. Depending on whether I'm using Capture One Pro or if I'm using Photos, I'm just going to use the effects print module. How can I do that? Well, because even within the plugin, you can do the print module, which, you know, I'm just going, will this work? I really want it to work. So for instance, let's say I'm in Photos and I don't want to use the Photos print module, which is nice, but not extensive. So I take the image that I want to print, and I go to edit, right? I go into edit mode in Photos. That allows me then to tap my plugins, editing extensions, as we call them. And I choose, you know, On One Effects. So now it opens it up in On One Effects. I got whatever I want right in front of me. And then I just use the print button in On One Effects, go about my business, set up the print job, print all that I want. When I'm done, all I do is click the done button in Effects. And basically, I just go back to Photos in regular edit mode, click done again, and I'm finished. It's really easy. I don't have to do things like export a file out of Photos, then open it up in the standalone effects in order to get to the print module. I don't have to do any of that. So I just think that this is really cool. It's super enjoyable, and it's another dimension to the whole functionality of this plugin. Now, I haven't even tapped everything that you can do with it yet. Honestly, there's still so much more. I just haven't had time to. And I'm going, that's great. I can't wait to get to that. Like, I haven't really explored, you know, the masking and localized editing functions. I've played around with them a little bit, and they're great. They're great. But I haven't really, like, done my masterpiece work of art where I did all sorts of stuff with it. So I just wanted to get this application on your radar, because for the money, and we're going to get to that in a second, I think that it allows you to say, look, I'm a little bit bored with my workflow right now. I'm using the same tools all the time, yada, yada, yada. It'd be nice to have some new presets to look at, right? It'd be nice to have some film simulations to look at. It'd be nice to have some new adjustment tools to look at, such as Glow or whatever. And you get all of that plus a really nice print module with just one download that will work for all of your applications. That is why I'm pretty high on this right now. And I do feel like that it can supercharge whatever workflow that you have right now. Okay, so getting it. So you can try it for free for 14 days. They have a 14-day trial period, which is really nice. I have a link to that trial period in the show notes. So you just go to the show notes and you can download the app and try it free for 14 days. Now, if you decide that you want to purchase it, then you can buy it for $69.95. However, I have a coupon code for you that will save you 15%. So that'll take like 10 bucks off of this, get it down to like $59. And that coupon code is The Digital Story, all one word. Just do it in uppercase, The Digital Story, all one word. Use that coupon code and they'll take 15% off the price. And, you know, that's no matter how you get there, if you want to buy it, just do that and use that coupon code. However, if you just want to go right to the right spot, I would use the link in the show notes. Just use the link in the show notes. And then after your trial period, after it passes muster and all your different tests and you want to buy it, then use that coupon code and that'll get it down. I think it's a really good value. I mean, like I said, I fell in love with it because of the channel mixer. It uses and supports lookup tables, LUTs. So I was using that all the time, that functionality. I was using the presets like mad. I love the film simulations. Yeah, there's just all sorts of cool stuff in here. And then when I discovered that it has probably my favorite print module now, as well as everything else, I'm pretty much in heaven. And it just feels good to be able to recommend, you know, On1 and have it in with our list of recommended plugins. Near the top of the list, I might add now. So I hope you give it a chance. Download it. Supercharge your editing workflow, at least for 2 weeks, right? And then if you want to comment on it or if you have additional views on it, just go to our Facebook page where I post this podcast and let us know what you think. Right, here's kind of a fun thing. This is just a fun piece. The next MacBook Air powered by M2 is to come in multiple colors. And this is a rumor slash report. I found it on Petapixel, but I looked at the pictures and I go, some of those are kind of pretty. Let me read you what they have to say here. If a new rumor is to be believed, Apple wasn't done using color with its new M1 iMac series. The design aesthetic is coming to the next MacBook Air as well. Famed Apple leaker John Prosser, who has a pretty decent track record, has released a set of new renders that he says is indicative of MacBook Air designs he was shown from his own source at the company. As reported by Digitrends, the renders feature several notable changes to the current MacBook Air design. The most obvious change is that the computer will supposedly be available in one of seven colors: silver, blue, yellow, orange, pink, purple, and green. Not coincidentally, those are the same colors that Apple's newly announced M1 Macs are available in. I'm just looking at these MacBook Airs, which are already pretty good looking machines, and they're enhancing some other things, like I think the bezel, allegedly, is going to shrink even more. So we're going to have smaller bezel. We're going to have these cool colors. And of course, it'll have either an M1 or M2 processor, which has been receiving rave reviews. And the software now is becoming available for it. So the whole M processor thing is really coming together. All of that is great. The tech on this allegedly new laptop looks fantastic. But these colors just really add a little something extra. And I remember back in the day when, remember when all the computers were the same color? They were this sort of this off-white plastic color. And then when Apple came out with the titanium MacBook, it's just like, wow, this is really nice. This is something truly different. And it was so exciting. Well, you know, now everything has kind of this cool aluminum color. There's a variety of other components and surfaces as well in the different brands, but nothing is quite as refreshing as this bunch of colors here. So I'm looking forward, I'll tell you, to go to an Apple store when these things are out. You're going to have all the iMacs in the colors, and then you have all the MacBook Airs, if this is true, in those colors. And even if I don't buy one, it's just going to be fun to take a picture of and look at. So anyway, that's just a fun story, but I hope it's true, and I hope they do release the new MacBook Airs in these colors. That will be a blast. All right, I have a new release, Capture One Pro 21, Essential Training on LinkedIn Learning. And I am so glad this guy is out. And what's really neat about Capture One Pro 21 is that they had the original version that they released just a while back, and then they had this big update to it, and the update had some really nice tools in it, and we have everything. We have all the new features, and it wasn't because I was procrastinating on doing it. It just takes time to get, you know, the contracts agreed upon, and you know, all the stuff that has to be worked out in order to do one of these titles. While I was working all that stuff out, they came out with a new release right when I was supposed to start recording. The perfect timing, because, you know, we still, after I finish recording, still have editing and stuff to do. So it's still going to be, you know, 4 or 5 weeks after that before I get it out there. So it's out there now. And, you know, the new version, I cover speed edit, I have the dehaze slider, I cover style brushes, you know, all the good new stuff. I talk about some new techniques for those of you that have been using Capture One Pro for a while. And then I also have just like a nice workflow for those of you that are new to Capture One Pro and you want to get your feet wet. This title, I think, works on both levels. It's really enjoyable. And by the way, you know, Capture One Pro also has a trial period too. So, you know, if you wanted to take a look at this, if you wanted to take a look at maybe making a change, then, you know, you could get everything all lined up where you download the trial, have that installed, and then do the LinkedIn Learning training and, you know, kind of get to know, because not only do I have training for Capture One Pro 21, I also have for 20, I also have for 12, 11, and 10, all on LinkedIn Learning. And among all of those, I cover practically everything. So you could like do this intense period where you're just going both feet into the pond with this application. And then you can make your decision, you know, by the time the trial period's up, if you wanted to go ahead and go for it, or if you just wanted to stick with what you're going to do. Capture One Pro 21 is a delight to work with. I like it a lot. And by the way, just as a piggyback to our first story, I'm also using it with On One Effects 2021. They work very well together. And I tell you, between what Capture One Pro can do natively, and then it seems like Effects complements it just in the right ways, that's really a powerful combination. So I'm happy that this training is out. I'm happy that I got the new features in the first round. If you want to take a look at it, I have a link to the training in the show notes, or you can just go to LinkedIn Learning, search on Derek Story or Capture One Pro 21 and take a look at it there. We've got free movies you can look at, you know, all the good stuff. And as I said earlier, if you've been thinking about the best way to get to know this app, I think this is a very good one. All right, let's do a little virtual camera club news. I want to talk about workshops. You know, that's the feature of last week's podcast. That was the feature of last week's podcast. And it's been a busy week since that podcast. During that time, the Oregon Coast workshop sold out. So if you go to that page now, you'll see that it's sold out pretty fast, I think like in 3 or 4 days. And then the black and white online workshop, the ultimate black and white online workshop, where we're going to be covering all sorts of black and white techniques, including black and white infrared, that one is about half full after the first week. So that one still has a few seats open. That one's only $145, and if you're a Patreon member, you get $15 off, so it's only $130 for Patreon members. So Scott and I are going to meet later this week, and we're going to talk about moving forward with the Oregon workshop. Not only are we going to talk about, you know, our next steps for the existing workshop that's in early November, but we'll take a look at and see if we want to offer a second session or not. I don't know. If you're interested in that workshop and you just missed it, just sold out before you could get to it, go ahead and send me an email and let me know about that. And the best way to do that really is go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on contact, it'll bring up the contact form, and you can just type in your question there and I'll respond to you. If you missed the first session and you would be interested in a second session, send me a note, let me know. And we're going to be talking about that stuff, Scott and I, over the next couple weeks. For those of you who did sign up, I'm really excited about this workshop. It's going to be fun. It's going to be our first physical workshop. It's going to be the first workshop where I have the all-electric VW there. First workshop that I'm going to co-lead with Scott, even though Scott and I have worked together before. He has a participant in previous workshops, TDS workshops. And then the Oregon coast itself, it's just going to be so much fun. So those of you who did sign up, I'm so happy for you, and I really can't wait to work with you in early November. In that last little chat, I mentioned the EV VW, the electric vehicle VW, and we have a group on our workshop site called EV Explorers, and this is for folks who are interested in EV, and they want to learn more about it, or they have one and they want to share things, or they want to have other people who are interested in electric vehicles to bounce ideas off, all those kind of things. If you're interested in that, then there are links in the show notes. You just click on those links. It'll request an invite to the group. You'll be let in because you're a member of our community here. And you can join us, and it's fun. I mean, we have a couple posts a week go on our EV Explorers, and it's an interesting conversation. I have learned a lot. There's so much to learn about all these different technologies, and then the real practicality right now of using these vehicles, and then what we think is coming down the road, so to speak, over the next couple of years. So if you're interested in all that stuff, want to learn more, just go to the show notes, click on the link, and we'll get you in that group. I want to give a big shout out to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support our community, support this podcast. Thank you so much, Inner Circle members, for being such active participants in this community. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, we have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Stories, the Patreon tile. Just click on that Patreon tile. That'll take you over to our site. You can take a look at what's going on, nose around, and hopefully you will become an Inner Circle member yourself. And the nice thing about it is, not only are you supporting this podcast, supporting this community, a lot comes back to you as well. For instance, on the Oregon workshop, our Inner Circle members got a $100 discount. Well, I mean, you're paying $5 a month. You can do the math on how that works out pretty well for Inner Circle members. So our online workshops, they're all discounted. Any new thing that I come up with, Inner Circle members get a break, and they find out about stuff ahead of time before I mention it on the show. So if I'm going to have a big announcement on Tuesday on this show, Inner Circle members usually know about it the weekend before. So I like to give back because they give so much to all of us. And again, a big thanks to our Inner Circle members. So we really appreciate you. My latest article on Medium.com is titled "The Heartbreak That Was Aperture," coming up on the 7-year mark for the demise of Aperture. It was in June. I decided to write a piece about my experience, how I found out, and my thoughts on that. And again, this is a little different kind of photography writing that I do compared to the blog and compared to, the other spots. Medium.com, I really try to have unique articles that you're not going to see anywhere else. If you're interested in photography articles along those lines, why I print digital images, how I repurpose, some of my DIY projects, all that kind of stuff, then you can just go to medium.com and click on my name or search on my name. You'll see all my articles. It'll bring up my author's page. And if you like what you see, follow me and you'll be notified whenever I publish something new there. I try to get new articles up about twice a month on medium.com. Want to give a big shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. I have a little anecdote to tell you, a little printing anecdote. So obviously I'm not going to talk about the print module in Effects, right, On One Effects 2021 without testing it, because, well, that would be foolhardy. especially a printing thing, but anything, you know, I always test everything first. So I've been printing mainly over the last little bit with this one printer, this one Canon. I have a couple printers, as you can imagine. Printing mainly documents. I hadn't done any photographs of it for a while, but I wanted to test it along with the other printers for this podcast to make sure I had all my bases covered. And it's a Pixma, so it's more of a consumer printer, which a lot of people would have. I fire up effects and I do the first print, and it comes out really magenta. And by the way, this is the first print that I had done with effects in Big Sur, by the way. So I'm going, magenta, why is it so magenta? So, you know, I'm checking everything. And I try a different file. It was magenta. I made some different settings, still magenta. I went back to Catalina, tried it there, still magenta. And I go, okay, I'm picking up what's going on here. It's the printer. It's not me. It's not the software. It's not the files. There's something going on with the printer. So I went to utilities and cleaned the heads. And I guess in just that little while, maybe it's been a month or two, that I hadn't printed color, because I've been printing mainly documents, that one of the heads got a little cloggy on me. And clearly the magenta head was not cloggy, which had plenty of magenta, but not a whole lot of yellow or blue, cyan. So I cleaned the heads, and then I ran the same test over, and everything looked great. So I tell you this story for a couple reasons, but the main reason is that even someone like me who prints a lot, it does take me every now and then, when something goes sideways on me, it does take me a couple minutes to sort of figure out what's going on. I do burn a couple prints trying to figure out what's going on. And then, you know, hopefully I get to it and everything's okay. The funny thing for me about printing is that once I discover whatever the problem is, it just seems so obvious in hindsight that why didn't I just, you know, go to that first? If I'm getting a lot of magenta, why don't I just think, oh, maybe the other heads are a little clogged? That's funny. So I thought I'd tell you that to humanize me as a printer to you. That being said, once I got everything rolling, which didn't take me that long, I made some really nice prints from Mother's Day and so forth, and really happy to have those, and I'm going to share those with folks. I share the digital images, but I'm going to share some prints too, and that's the beauty of printing. It just goes beyond, that email attachment, and takes it to a whole nother place. And when you're ready to do that, Red River Paper is there waiting for you. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. Have everything that you need, ink, paper, accessories, tutorials, reviews, all that good stuff. Just go to Red River Paper, click on the tiles on all the pages of Digital Story. Get your ink on, right? And make some prints. And remember, if you haven't printed for a little bit, you might want to clean those heads first. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm working on some cool stuff for next week. Be sure to come back and join me. Until then, stay safe, be creative. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.